Right, it was to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 30. Amen. And when we just says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in a way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 28, he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against aggression, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Listen to the Lord. Eternal Father God, we thank you that after the song of this unto the word of God must go forth. But we come asking again, as always, Lord, to unstop our ears. So we are able to hear the truth, Father God, that you open our mind, we are in a process of rebuilding, most of all, it's a yielding spirit. And not just be here, but be doing the word. Father God, we come all confessing that we all have fallen short. By word, by thought, and by deed. We rejoice, Father God, knowing that you have more forgiveness in you than we have said in us, Heavenly Father. Father God, we thank you for all that you have done. And Father God, we anticipate a Thanksgiving, another Thanksgiving day, Father God. Let us remember that you are truly the reason for all the seasons, Father God. And Father God, we should be thankful for every situation, good, bad, or indifferent, Father God, knowing that you're in control of everything that happens in our lives, and nothing happens by happenstance with you, Father God. Father God, we come once again asking that you have your way right now. I pray through a certain way, Lord, if anything within me that should not be, Father God, lead me down to your strong knowledge and wisdom. Allow me to get in heaven realm one more time and boldly proclaim what thus does say the Lord, Father God. Have your way. Pray that you speak to me and through me as only you can, Father God. I pray the word of my mouth that my heart be settled in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my dear church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to be focusing on three verses this morning. I'll be focusing primarily on verse 26. 27 and 28. But before we get into the text this morning, I do want to commend Brother Devon, who is the videographer. Amen. We had no idea when he started videotaping that we would be seen worldwide. And this church has truly gone from a local assembly to an international gathering. Folks around the world, especially when we talk about Cape Town, Ukraine, and Russia. That is very huge for us that went into our 14th week today, and to be seen in, by such a broad audience is really tremendous. Let's get right to us. Thanksgiving is one of the most popular holidays on the calendar. It's got to be the food. It can't be that we're excited about God giving some glory for the things he has done. If that were the case, this house would be packed in anticipation of this coming Thursday. It's the food, isn't it? It's got to be the food. Candy yams, sweet potato pie, fried or baked turkey with cornbread stuffing and giblet gravy, seven-layer cakes, green bean casserole, collard seasoned just right. Am I on your street yet? Amen. Thanksgiving has become a feast of eating when it's supposed to be a celebration of gratefulness to God for his many blessings. Blessings come in all shapes and sizes. There are economic or financial blessings. There are blessings of good health. There are blessings of education and opportunity. And there's the natural blessings of just being alive. But what we should really be thankful about is that God knows our past, present, and future.
Amen.
And that is my sermon this morning. Thankful that God knows our past, present, and future. Amen. There are three dimensions of time, the past, the present, and the future. No matter how gifted or skilled you are, you cannot experience all three dimensions at the same time. My past is only my present while I'm experiencing. My present can only be experienced right now, and any look forward is simply a projection. My future is eternal. may celebrate it, but that won't make it better. Amen. I may try to shield myself from some deep wounds, pain, and trouble in my past, but my past is my past.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's irrevocable, it's irretrievable, it cannot be altered in any way, shape, or form. It's my past. My present is right now. No matter what has happened in my life in the past, or what will happen in my future, I can only live in the season of the here and now.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I can't throw away the bad and keep the good. My present is influenced by my past.
Yes.
Amen. All that has happened to me in the past, educationally, financially, and socially, affects my present.
Oh.
Amen. I have to live with it, but I can't learn from it.
Yes.
Amen. But my future is completely unknown to me. I may make plans for my future, but my future is never certain. Amen. I may say, see you soon, but I don't really know for sure. I can put off till tomorrow, but tomorrow may never come.
Amen. We're
on track so far.
Yes.
I can expect a paycheck on Friday, but my week may end on Thursday, my God. The truth is that none of us knows for certain what will happen in the future. The only part of our future that is certain this morning, church, is where we will spend eternity. Amen. When this earthly house can no longer provide protection and comfort for my soul because of my confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, when my soul is absent from this body, it will be present with the Lord forever. Amen. You can't live in the past, present, and future all at the same time, but God can. Amen. Because He's omniscient, which means He's all knowing, God has in His arsenal something that none of us possess. The ability to stand in your present and look at your past and your future all at the same time.
Amen.
Amen. And no matter how your past reputation and present circumstances appear, God only sees your future. He sees your future, and your future is much brighter than your past and your present. Amen. And since you can't change your past and you have no choice but to live in the present, it only makes sense, church, to trust God with your future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In our text this morning, Saul has begun to walk in his new life as Paul, as a believer. A new believer doesn't come out of the gate as a seasoned believer. A new believer has to go through some of the spiritual prerequisites of humility, learning the Word of God, learning how to pray, learning the importance of fellowship, learning the responsibility of mentorship, learning how to forgive and forget, and other important biblical principles in order to become a fully mature believer. The new believer's goal is not to get rich, but to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. We're on a journey towards maturity in Christ to make our Savior proud and pleased. Paul is living in the present while trying to overcome his past. Watch this thing. He has escaped from the threats of those who would do him harm in Damascus. When he was last seen publicly, he was scurrying away in a basket that doubled as a life preserver. Now he's made the journey from Damascus to the holy city of Jerusalem. We don't know if he made it by caravan, hitched a ride on a donkey, or rode a camel or a horse, or walked the whole round in 35 miles. But we can all agree that it took time to arrive in Jerusalem. Amen. There is much that we can learn from a look at Paul's past, present, and future. Look at verse 29. First, look at Paul's past in verse 29. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. My God. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You got to watch this thing this morning. The weary Paul now returns to Jerusalem a new man. Watch this thing. He is not the same man spiritually or intellectually who left Jerusalem to go to Damascus. He left the city as Saul the sinner. He returns as Paul the saint. He left the city with a band of men. He returns all by himself. He left the city with hatred in his soul. He returns with love in his heart. He left the city with a beast he fell from. Now he returns with a God he can hold deep calm on. My God. When Paul returns, he greatly desires to be a part of the apostolic enclave
did. Sounds like church folks, doesn't it? Amen. Former alcoholics, former adulterers, former gossip, former liars, former thieves, former addicts, former sinners who fessed up to their mess ups, and they think that God won't do the same for you. I want somebody to speak this morning. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I see Jesus in you. Come on now. Tell him I see Jesus in you. Amen. Look, secondly, watch this. Look at verse 27. Amen. Barnabas took him. Look at verse 27. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the name of Jesus. The apostles don't believe Paul, but Barnabas, a young Levite of Cyprus, who was also known as Joseph, had remarkable powers of exhortation and ministering consolation to the afflicted, a man who gave up all his worldly substance, strength, and influence to spread the gospel. He stood with Saul and testified of his conversion. And the reason why most folks cannot testify of your conversion, they still seek what's the devil in you. Watch this thing. If you are a believer, you need a Barnabas in your life. You need someone who believes in your new faith in Jesus Christ. Someone who is ready to accept your confession of faith and stand with you in the face of doubters. And most times, we're the one that fuels people's doubts in our conversion. My God. You need your Barnabas will keep you connected and grounded and growing. You need a spiritual hookup who will mess you up. My God. If you intend to do anything well for Christ, you've got to hang out with people who are where you one day want to be. If you want to do anything well for Christ, if you want to grow to all you can be in Christ, you got to hang out with people who are where you one day want to be.
Amen.
The problem is when you hang with folks who have less word than we have in us. You know, it's funny. I laugh because we have Christians. You know, the Bible says that we shall soar as eagles. Right? An eagle is a solitary bird. You don't see a flock of eagles. Eagles are solitary birds. We got too many Christians to watch. The eagle is the only bird that has the ability to fly above the clouds, above storms. Other birds can't do it because the air gets too thin. We got a lot of Christians in the church who are like pigeons. What's a pigeon? A pigeon's a ground bird, wings, and no desire to fly. A pigeon is such a foolish bird, it waits for the scraps of others. You're missing this thing. A pigeon is such a foolish bird, if you throw a cigarette butt on the ground, a pigeon will try to eat it because it's happy just to have something in its beak. We got too many folks in the church who are just happy to get by on somebody else's scraps. An eagle has the ability to go to the top of a cliff, grab something three times its weight. An eagle knows how to go out and get what it wants.
Amen.
The Christian was never built to get by on the get by or to get over on the hookup.
Come on.
I'll help you. How much do you have? Just enough to get by. When you get on, hook me up. Or you're trying to wait for the guild. Watch this. You need a Barnabas who will authenticate your faith and lead you down the path to perfection. Perfection is ongoing. We're never going to be perfect as long as we're here where time and space exist. But we should have more saved moments and less worldly moments. And the reason why your faith can't be authenticated, every time you get mad or something happens, the world keeps coming out your mouth. Every time something happens, instead of responding like Christ, you react like the world. So your faith is invalid. You can't say that you've encountered Christ on your road to Damascus. What happened with Saul of Damascus? Well, what happened is God blinded his eyes and the eyes of his heart, and he realized and he submitted his life to Christ. The problem is too many folks in the body Watch this, man. So, watch this. So, number three. There was Paul's future. Look at that, Paul's past, Paul's present. Look at Paul's future, verse 28. And he was with them coming and going out at Jerusalem. And after Barnabas spoke up for Paul, before the 12 apostles, the mediator, the scripture declared that Paul was with them coming in and going out to Jerusalem. Finally, Paul was fully accepted into the apostolic circle and was a witness for Christ. Amen. Of course, we know Paul's future because it's recorded in the Word of God. But Paul knew it at his present, and he had no idea where his future was taking him. He had no idea he would be the single most effective witness for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He simply had a testimony to tell. You and I are in the same boat as Paul. Nobody here knows what God is going to do with us in our future. Amen. We have no idea how many sinners will be saved by a word from our mouth. But you can't save sinners if you're still living like a sinner. Amen. Did you catch that? You can't save sinners. You can't lead sinners to Christ if you still living like a sinner. So watch this. We don't know if we will save thousands or just one. And understand me, if you're not saving folks, that means you're discipling, you're disabling folks. If you're not saving them, you're crippling them by your behavior and conduct. You are the closest that the world will come to Christ. Are you discipling or disabling? Watch this thing. So we don't know if it will be just save thousands or just one. Maybe some people don't think you would ever sing in church. Maybe some people didn't think you would be able to teach a class. Maybe some people didn't think you would ever preach. Maybe some people didn't think you would ever lead a public prayer or join the evangelism outreach team. They're judging you by your past, not your present. Keep serving the Lord because only God knows your future. And your future is only limited by your ability to submit to God. And the problem is, we allow our past to become our present. Amen. And our present becomes our future.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'll help you. If all you do is change locations, but don't change who you are, all you've done is change locations. The way you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. Man can modify how they behave. Only God can change who we are. I'll help you. You take a cheater. A cheater is going to be faithful until they have an opportunity to cheat again. But he's still a cheater. Only God can take a cheater and change that cheater into a saint. And teach them how to be faithful to God first and then to everyone. My God. Each of us here is a used to be. Some of us may be or still are. What's a used to be? I used to be this. I used to be that. And the problem is, if you came in and you leave out here or still are because you choose to.
Amen.
You come here today, regardless of where you are, and still be now saying, today, the first day of the rest of my life. Amen.
understand, but you don't know what lies this afternoon. You don't know what's going to lie beyond this evening. Amen. And the question becomes, if God was to call you home, would your home be eternally with him in heaven? Or would you be damned to hell? And this thing is real. And don't think that if you get on your deathbed, there's a deathbed confession. You're not guaranteed to have activity of your brains. Amen. So Paul says that today is your day of salvation. Is there one? Last call, amen. You say, you know what? I understand what you're teaching. I like the teaching here. This is where I want to fellowship. I'll be up. This is where I want to fellowship at this time. You're not joining the church as well. You're saying, this is where I want to fellowship at. I like the teaching. I can learn here. Amen. Is there one? Amen. Amen. Oh, we'll come to you, baby. Amen. Give her a hand. Amen. Care what the number is here, as long as we know that people here are being taught and are being pointed towards Christ. That's it. I'm not here to push religion. I'm here to teach relationship. Amen. And that's okay, is that make sure that you are in a right relationship with God. Amen. Let me just, I dismissed that. Okay. Amen. I lost my mind for a minute. Let's talk to the Lord. And now may the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us all, now, henceforth, forevermore. The church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.